Quito, and I want to thank you for joining us today and listening in on the service. But before we get started today, I want to make you aware of a new sermon series that I've started here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. It's a sermon series entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. The Secret to Your Best Life is based on a book that I've written and of the same name, The Secret to Your Best Life, to which you can get a copy on Amazon.com. You can visit our website, www.heargodswordatbethlehem.com, and go up and click the Facebook link, and you'll have all the information about the book and the series. And once again, we want to thank you for listening today. And now, let's get into the Word. Tonight, once again, as we are going to, after this Bible study, enter into our time of church conference, and we're going to do something a little different tonight, and I'm not going to pass the mic to everyone tonight, but if you have something you want to share that has happened within your week, then you can share. If not, we'll go on into the Bible study. Amen? Anybody have anything they just have to share? This is just burning on your heart. Amen. Sister Nell looks like she got something she wants to share. Okay. Let me turn this down right quick. I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. Nobody wants to share everything, huh? Not even Brother Moore.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well,
we can count on him.
Count on him.
Always count on him.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into this study tonight. And really, it's supposed to be a discussion. And that's one of the reasons we like you to share to begin. You're talking, so you'll be comfortable sharing during this time of discussion. So just because you didn't share don't mean you shouldn't share later on. Amen? Amen. But we're going to be talking about the discussion of Psalms 119:74. And what did I say?
119:74.
Oh, 71. Okay, my dyslexia is messing with me. Thank you. That's okay. I see the cross up on me. But the text says that it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And I just had to play this video again, okay, because I'm going to open the floor and I want you to tell me, it's going to be a pop quiz, it's an open book test, but I want you to tell me everything in this video that the writer says affliction does, okay? I want you to write it down, okay? Here we go.
Afflictions when sanctified, by J.R. Miller. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Psalm 119:67. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I could learn your statutes. Psalm 119:71. By affliction, the master artist is adding some new touch of loveliness to the picture he is bringing out in our souls. Afflictions, when sanctified, temper worldly ambitions, burn out the dross of selfishness, humble pride, quell fierce passions, reveal the evil in our hearts, manifest our weaknesses, faults, and blemishes, teach patience and submission, discipline unruly spirits, deepen and enrich our graces. Afflictions, when sanctified, plow the hard soil and cut long and deep furrows in the heart. The heavenly sower follows, and fruits of righteousness spring up. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hebrews 12:11. Affliction is a messenger of God, sent to minister to us in the best of ways. When under God's chastening hand, we should ask, what would God have this sorrow do for me? What is its mission? What its great design? What golden fruit lies hidden in its husk? How shall it strengthen my virtue, nerve my courage, hasten my passions, purify my love, and make me like him who bore the cross of sorrow while he lived, and hung and bled upon it when he died, and now wears the victor's crown in glory?
Amen. So what does the writers of the video say that affliction does? Can anybody catch it? Weighty words, weighty words. What did he say he does?
Manifests and teaches.
It teaches, okay. It teaches, okay. Anybody else? What did he say it does?
Humbles and pride.
It humbles. Affliction humbles. Can anybody tell me a place in the Bible where affliction humbled a man of God?
Yeah.
You ain't got to tell me the address. Just tell me who it was.
What is the address?
Huh?
What is the address?
Job.
Okay, Job. Who else? Hello, somebody. I was looking for Paul. Hello, somebody. What did Paul say about his affliction? Yeah, he's thorn in the side. Yeah. What did he ask God to do? To take it away. God, he said that affliction, he said, and it was in his side, a thorn in his side, and he asked God to take it away, okay? And what did God do?
Grace.
He said his grace. Did he take it away?
No.
He didn't take it away. He didn't take his affliction away, but he says by his grace that what is sufficient for him in what? In his what? In his weakness, or in his affliction. Hello, somebody. In his affliction. So affliction, then thereby we can see why this text says affliction is good. Because it says that affliction does what? Affliction, that it may learn your statutes. He said that the man in the video said that affliction was God's messenger. Hello, somebody. Nobody want to see that messenger coming, do you? Hello, somebody. Nobody want to see that mailman coming. Nobody want to see that UPS man, that FedEx man with affliction coming. But God says in the text, that affliction is bringing, and affliction teaches. Hello, somebody. Anybody want to learn from affliction? Hello, somebody. You gonna learn from it whether you whether you want to or not. Hello, somebody. In other words, you gonna pass the test or you gonna fail, because affliction is one of God's greatest tools to help manifest the character of God within the Christian, because, and I quoted this in my book about Billy Graham, says that prosperity had never done a man any good. Hello, somebody. But you give him some affliction. Hello, somebody. We don't hear affliction talked about that, and I share here on this last point, and that naming and claiming prosperity, You don't hear about this affliction. You don't hear about affliction because they don't tell you the truth about what God does with affliction. We go and we want to hear some of the best preachers in the world, and we go to all these different conferences and to hear the best preachers in the world, but nobody wants to hear what affliction has to say. Hello, somebody. When Bishop Affliction comes to town, a doctor Affliction comes to town, a pastor Affliction comes to town, we don't want to hear from him. We don't want to, oh, give him our money. Hello, somebody. I know it's some traditions that when the preacher preaches, they'll come up and they'll throw money at his feet. Hello, somebody. But nobody want to throw money at Affliction's feet. Hello, somebody. Dr. Affliction's feet. Hello, somebody. But you learn from Affliction more so than you'll learn from anybody else. And if I was preaching this, I'd say to your neighbor, give me some of that Affliction. Give me some of that Affliction. Ain't nobody want to get none of that Affliction. Or nobody want to high five you when it comes to Affliction. Touch your neighbor and then tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Hello, give your neighbor a high five. They don't want to do that with Affliction. But Affliction, best bishop in town. Affliction, best doctor in town. Best elder. Whatever you want to say. And this text says that Affliction was good because it taught me something in his word. Hello, somebody. So we're going to answer these three questions, and then we're going to go ahead and start our conference. And this is in the book. You have a book. Well, if you have the book, one of the things I challenge you to do in the book is to reread Psalms 119. I have some good information about the background of Psalms 119, how it's the longest Bible chapter, how it's done up in like an acronym, with Hebrew words, Hebrew alphabets, and Psalms. Psalmist wrote it to where it's like in modern day terms or in English terms. A is is for such and such. B is for such and such about the word of God. That's how it's written. But I challenge you to reread that. I want you to reread that over again. I challenge you in the book that if you haven't read Psalms 119, read it. And also in the book, I say if you have read 119, read it again. Hello, somebody. And because it's a weighty book about the importance of God's word, and this is where we learn how affliction helped the man of God get into God's word. So, but in the book, I ask you to name some of the ways in your life that affliction has taught you discipline. Name some of the ways in your life that affliction has taught you discipline. Anybody want to share? Cause you to suffer, okay. And suffering is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I thought it was bad, but at the end, you know, it taught me something.
Well,
pay attention.
Mm.
To follow your God.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Anybody else? Wow.
Through a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Through a personal health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still dealing with suffering.
Oh, yeah, it is suffering, affliction. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't get
to it. But it's like God, and all, going through all of this, I just stayed on the story of Job.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And I tried to be like Job.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm not saying that I made an A in it. I didn't make an A in it, but I still tried.
Amen. Amen.
Then I finally figured out that God was holding me.
Yeah.
Amen.
I felt like just falling, getting it all up, just not trying to kill myself. I don't
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We ain't going that far.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was only through God's grace that I made it.
Amen.
And where I am today. And I can encourage others.
Amen.
But they have to have the faith and the courage to endure.
Amen.
Because it will get better.
Amen.
So I can say it's with the suffering. That's what I'm listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That is
depending on God. And trust, you know, because he if it wasn't for him, no way you could
make it. Amen.
I could imagine, you know, how hard it was to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Alone, because it was hard for me.
Yeah.
It made me really repent.
Days what,
there are days, and there still are some days that, you know, all I can utter out is Lord help me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord help me, because He already know my thoughts.
Yeah.
And so He know what I'm needing help for at that moment. And I believe
that. Amen. And then we're praying for you. We know it's about that time of year too, and usually certain periods of time for you and the family of Juju, it comes back up, it comes back around. But like you said, you got to depend upon the Lord. I've heard somebody say, I don't have nobody or nothing else. Mm-hmm. You know, can nobody help me with this? You know, but affliction will put you at the feet of Jesus. Like nobody else would, you know. And did you think being afflicted during the time that it was good for you?
No.
Probably not. No. The old folk used to say, "You'll understand it better by and by." You know, they had a better theology on things, you know, and they had a better look of not only understanding it better by and by here, but when you cross on over to the other side, when you get to be with the Lord, you'll understand it better by and by. But then you pose the question, now that you have years apart from your afflictions, can you see any good that has come from it after years apart, away? Any good?
I can see some good. And I say that because during the process of whatever was going on, I did draw closer. Meditation. Studying the Word. And I really think that I'm better now in that medium than I was before. I don't have to ask the question why. You know, why me?
Uh-huh.
Why is this happening to me? Because I thought I was a different person. I was a good person.
Yeah.
But through it all, it was good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of folk can't come to terms like that, you know, and it causes them, if their lives are not built on the foundation of who Christ is, it'll cause them to fall away, because they will take a lot of this stuff. And it sounds kind of odd to say not to take it personal when it's happening personally to you. But when you draw yourself out and you draw yourself away, and a lot of times it takes years for you to draw back, you realize, especially when it comes to death, that it's appointed for all of us to die. And we don't know the day or the moment. I heard one preacher say, I think it was Dr. Evans, said, you really don't know how old you are, because the only way you can determine really how old you are is from your death date, not your birthday. So someone who would die at 24, and they're 20 years old, they old, because they only have 3 years left. So, but everybody, barring Jesus Christ comes again and is raptured, we all have a day. And we don't know when that day would be. We all would like to live a nice long age, and most of us don't want our loved ones even to die. They could be. I've seen some folk mourning over somebody that's 100 years old and don't want them to die. You know, but it's appointed. And it's like, you can never prepare for it. That's what I say. It just is. Never prepare. Always take you off guard. You can teach folk. You teach folk, and you can teach folk, and you could be have taught it. You know, and then it comes and hits you in the face. And then what you gonna do? So, yeah, it does. It happens.
Very many more days ahead of me. There's a whole lot less days ahead of me than I have right now.
Yeah.
First thing is young. You think about it. It's late on now.
Person wasn't about, ain't about 60 something years old,
man. Yeah.
But the life expectancy of a person, 70 to 80.
That's right. And it's amazing how young something feels when you, as you old, as you age, because now 60 don't seem that old. When I was younger, it seemed like it was real old, but 60 don't seem that old no more. And we're continually growing, and we all got a day. You know, somebody put it to me like this way. He said, young man, you're middle aged. Unless you live past 80, you are middle aged. Hello, somebody. So, affliction. Some of us passed middle age. But affliction helps sober us. It gives us a sobering mind to know that we're not going to be here always. And we got to get our house in order, as the old folk used to say. We got to serve God. Put God first and serve Him until the day we die.
I said that, you know, I didn't get the story with the lady. Because she was saying, if we're not preparing to leave here.
Yeah.
And most of us at 50 and 60, we haven't made no plans.
Well.
And we think that because we ain't made no plans, that's going to help us live longer, but it's not.
Yep.
Because this really brings more problems to the family.
Yep, when you don't plan.
And we're going to leave here.
Yep.
To have to take care about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the purpose of her saying this. And,
yep.
And it dawned on me, why haven't you made any plans?
Well.
And like I say, I got thinking on that. And I thought the same thing, because I think
Man, I don't want to make no plans. If I do, that's like saying I'm going to die.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying.
Yeah,
that's right. Her mother said, I ain't got her a few days left. And this lady is 94 years old.
Wow.
She said, I ain't got her a few
days.
And I don't know. It could be a month, a year, it could be 5 years.
Yeah.
But to her, she's been realistic.
Amen. Amen. So affliction keeps us sober-minded. Hello, somebody. It keeps us sober-minded, and it teaches us. It teaches us. So we have to learn to, this is deep, to embrace affliction. Wow. You don't get that on TV. Embrace affliction. You don't get that on TV. Whenever you're going through, embrace it. And see what God, the man said, take it as a messenger of God and see what you can learn from it.
Yeah.
Woo, that's deep. Yeah. That's some deep learning. These kind of degrees you don't want. what affliction teaches. But it does keep you sober-minded, and as you serve the Lord, you'll one day be able to come back and see that it was good. It was a good thing that I was afflicted. Had I not been afflicted, I wouldn't have, as Paul says, I probably would have been prideful. Hello, somebody. That's what he said. God had that used him to revelate, give such great revelations that without afflictions, he probably would have been prideful. Hello, somebody. So that's our discussion on affliction, and you should know that it's good, as the writer says, for me to be afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, that I may learn from you, Lord. It's good that I was afflicted, that I may learn from you. Amen?
Amen,
amen, lice and walls. Hallelujah anyhow. When affliction comes, hello somebody. Amen. Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world,
listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China. We're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching...
Hello, this is Pastor Michael Eaton again. We want to thank you for listening to the message today. And once again, this message is a part of the sermon series entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. And we want you to get a copy of the book at www.amazon.com. And you can get a copy there. Visit our website and get to know us on all the different mediums that we have there, Facebook, Twitter. And we want to be in contact with you. And again, you can get a copy of the book, A Secret to Your Best Life, or any of the books that I have written. We want you to click the Facebook page where I share most of the books and things that are going on. Do a Google search with my name and you can find the different books that I've written. But we want to thank you for joining us today in the Word. And may God bless you and keep you.